You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. This time we're looking ahead to the action coming up on Wednesday the 12th of February. On Racing Radio, you're Darren Owen in the studio alongside Andrew Mount and Chris Pimlott. Subble definitely on in the afternoon, or hope they definitely on. Hereford is perhaps a doubt with a morning inspection, then we will have racing in the evening from Kempton as well. So do join the guys on Racing Radio. Be on air around 1:35 p.m. It'll depend what time the meetings are on that do end up going ahead, wherever Hereford's in play or not. Here to look ahead to some of that action that's coming up tomorrow and react to the big news regarding the Grand National Weights this afternoon. Myself, John Gibby, joined by John O'Connell. Hello, John. How are you?
Hello again. I'm very well, thanks, John.
Excellent. Good to have you with us. You've been on Racing Radio over the course of the afternoon today. People are listening live on Racing Radio, they would have been hearing you. How's it been so far? You've been in here with Luke and Andrew.
It's going okay. We've got the meeting at Chelmsford, which we mentioned earlier. Thankfully, it was just arranged to be put on for today. I think it was last Friday or last Thursday they decided, and it's saved our bacon, because otherwise we'd have no race. We'd have a blank afternoon. At the time they put it on, there were two other meetings, but they've gone by the wayside. Punchestown, which had been rescheduled for today, that was abandoned as well. So thankfully, Chelmsford have stepped up to the plate.
Well, within the last hour, the weights for the Grand National have been released. Of course, they have the big fancy do at Liverpool to release the weights, and then they get put out to through the media to racing fans to take a look at what weights some of our favourite horses will be carrying, if of course they do take up their engagement in the Grand National, because as we'll get on to, John, not all of these are definite runners. Within the last hour we have heard what the weights are, and Delta Work and Tiger Roll have been assigned joint top weight 11 stone 10, off a mark of 170. Bristol Demai is then £2 back on 168. Native River, this was a surprise for some people, behind that on 166. It would be carrying 11 stone 6 as things stand. And then a whole bunch in there at 11-2. Annabelle Fly, Aso Cadmium, Elegant Escape and Top Phil Ben. Let's start off with the favourite for the race, Tiger Roll. Joint top weight as things stand with Delta Work. John, I don't think Connections can be too surprised about that, as he goes for a historic third win in the race.
Yeah, won off 159 last year when it was actually well in at the weights, having won the cross-country race at the Cheltenham Festival. They'll be saying otherwise, the Connection and the owner, but I think it's perfectly fair. He's won the last 2 years. He's £11 higher than last year. I think that's just to be expected, really. Won it in dominant style. So that incorporates, in inverted commas, the entry factor. And just the way the horse improved again last year to win it, and I think it's perfectly right.
And it's actually £1 below his official chase mark as well.
Yeah, one or £2 below, isn't it? Yeah. So, Connections may say otherwise, but I think it's okay. No, I just hope we just get him in there and that's it, and run the horse and that's it. Done with it.
We have heard from Gigginstown that he's not a definite runner. Now, there are operations who do have a little bit of previous with getting a little bit upset. Some may say throwing the toys out the pram a little bit.
Yeah. As you say, we've heard a bit before. We've heard about this on the run-up to the waist today. Just looking forward now to fast-forwarding several weeks and getting the horse down to post, and hopefully he'll be there. He should be there.
You'd like to think that being the first horse since Red Rum to win three, the first horse ever to win three consecutively, that would be enough to want to see odds, no matter what the weight is.
Yeah, right? Embrace it. You're going for something that's never happened before, a third Grand National. Just run it.
So, joint top weight there with Delta Work. I don't know if Delta Work's necessarily a likely runner in the race, but it's not surprising given he is the class act, if you like.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just chatting about the race a few moments ago. Native River could be interesting for plenty off 11 stone 6, getting £4 of Tiger Roll.
Are you surprised Native River's 11 6 after he won at the weekend?
No, I think that's probably fair enough. He had plenty in hand at the weight. He's beaten Might Bite would have been the closest to him weight-wise in that race last Saturday, and he clearly isn't running his race anymore. So he ended up beating Secret Investor, a horse who's rated £19 below him by about three lengths, and Secret Investor, I think he was coming off a poor run, albeit in soft ground, at Cheltenham in December. So he was hardly going to go up in the weight after that, Native River. So I think that's fair enough. But think about if you're backing Native River, and on the day, if things align for him, he could be so interesting. A, you want good to soft minimum, hopefully soft ground for Native River. And also, the main target for that one is the Gold Cup. And it's a three-year gap this year. It has on occasions been four. It's a three-year gap this year anyway.
A three-week gap, Jimmy.
Sorry. Yeah.
I don't know if there's a three-year gap.
I wouldn't fancy him coming back as a 13-year-old.
No,
I do
apologise. So.
Yeah, a three-week gap.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. So, so that's something to play on, given the fact that they haven't committed Native River to the Grand National yet. They're going to see how it goes at Cheltenham. But given the likelihood he will have a tough old race there, you might want to be holding your bets.
The gap is interesting as well, because we talk about class horses from the Gold Cup potentially going on to the Grand National. Tiger Roll, of course, has used the cross country as a prep race, and other horses have in the past. Also, the Ultima at the Cheltenham Festival, a popular race for Grand National horses to run in. But I suppose the gap does it's going to impact on connections running plans ahead of the big one.
Well, it does a bit, but it's just something that trainers and connections seem to be making a bigger thing of these days.
Yeah.
In the past, there were times years ago where there was only a two-week gap. So three weeks now is as short as you can possibly have it. It's either three or four now, so it's three is as short as you can have it these days. But, yeah, I would be a little bit concerned for those looking to be backing Native River at the moment, just for the fact that he's going to go for the Gold Cup, all being well and good, and he's not going to have an easy race in the Gold Cup. So you just know at the moment, as regards to Aintree, it's going to be let's wait and see how the Cheltenham goes.
I think I might have heard connections say that Native River, it could be his big target next year, by which point it'd be 11 years old. And you imagine that's probably the right way to do it, even though we'd love to see Native River run in the Grand National this year. He's 10 years old now. This is probably his last chance to win the Gold Cup, one would imagine, and then you can gear everything towards the Grand National next term.
Well, that's the ideal world, isn't it? But we've seen so many times in the past, especially with National Hunt horses, you can plan and think, all right, this is going to be a target next year, and setbacks can get in the way. So if he's all well and good after Cheltenham, I'd like to see him turn up this year.
Obviously, also, the weights have make an impact, not so much at this stage, but as we get closer to the time and absentees in the top 40 become clear as to the horses that are going to get into the race, full stop. Currently, Dunikos, Kildazart, the last two in there in the top 40, and Rams de Tele enacting that, and other the two that aren't getting in. And there's a few just off the pace there, some big names that at the moment aren't quite getting in there. The likes of Double Shuffle is just missing the cut at the moment. Walk in the Mill, Shepherd's Oboe, I think could be potentially interesting in the Grand National as well. It's 49.
Yeah, without knowing the absolute definites from years gone by, my memory tells me that if you're in the top 55, 60, you're safe.
Yeah.
Natural wastage, horses dropping out, having setbacks, running poorly, or the ground going against them, whatever. If you fancy horse number 55 to 60 or whatever, you should be massive, massive odds on to make the cut. And you're probably still odds on to make the cut if you're in the 60s. You're probably getting high 60s onwards.
I suppose it's
getting more iffy.
Yeah.
It can change anyway, but I suppose something around the 65 mark. If your horse number 60...
I mean, one for Arthur's only 52 and he's won the race.
Yeah,
the past.
But it's massive, massive odds on. He'll be fine to go there, one for Arthur, who has shown a little bit of ability on a few occasions. And 11-year-old now, a couple of horses we touched upon. Walk in the Mill, who's been very good in those two runs over the national fences. Won the Beecher Chase a couple of months ago and ran a cracking race in the last year behind Tiger Roll. and he was fourth on that occasion. He's £6 higher than that, but of course that incorporates the win at the track a few months ago, so Walking the Mill is going to give James Best, you would have thought, a cracking good run.
Well, those are the Grand National Weights. We thank John for his views on that. Now, John, let's turn our attention to the racing that's taking place, hopefully, on Wednesday. Well, I think we can be relatively confident Sutherland Council will go ahead. Hereford, of course, subject to an 8M inspection. By all accounts, the outlook not looking great for Hereford at this stage.
It's not, no. We've lost also Kelso for Thursday at the moment. So, yeah, I think it's best at this stage to be sticking, John, to tomorrow's stuff on the all-weather anyway. That looks the safe way to go. And we'll kick off, first of all, at Southall. Pretty small fields at Southall tomorrow. And we've also got in there as well a couple of horses who are running today. But for the first selection, we're going to go 4 o'clock. And we're going to, of course, call Jorvik Prince, who... well, he's not running today, but he won last night. He won the last race of the evening at Wolverhampton. And he went to Mick Appleby a few months ago, and he's had him for 3 runs now, and he's got 2 wins out of him. And a 5th last Friday at Chelmsford, when that was over 6 furlongs. And also, not only is he happier at 5, but also the fact that they went very hard on him that day over 6 furlongs. They tried to cut across from the high draw to get to the front, and he used a bit too much petrol, as they say, so he had nothing left in the closing stages. Last night's race set up better for him. He was poised to challenge at the top of the straight, made his move. He was being reeled in to a certain extent in the closing stages, but he was always doing enough, having made the race winning move. It's his first go tomorrow at Southall, which is, you've got to take on trust that he's okay now at the fibre sand. So that is obviously a bit of a concern. He's never actually, looking back in his career, run here before. So obviously the fact is there's no subtle form in there is a little bit of a worry. From the pace angle, it should really work out well for him in that Red Stripes, who's drawn 5, is a front runner. And there was another front runner in the race as well. So there should be plenty of pace on in this race tomorrow anyway. Warriors Valley, by the way, in stall 6 was the other one who there should be, who always goes from the front. So Jorvik Prince should get a similar toe into the race as he did last night at Wolverhampton, which will be a lot better than the lack of tactics, how it worked out for him last week in defeat. So the main concern is definitely the track at Southall, but hopefully Jorvik Prince will be good enough to overcome that.
Jorvik Prince 6-5, Amazing Amaya 9-2, 11-2 for Red Stripes, Final Legacy 6-1, also 6-1 for Quarat, Warriors Valley 10-1, 18-1 and bigger for the rest. If you're listening back on the podcast, these are the prices at time of recording. If you're listening live, of course, those are the prices as we speak right now. John, what's the other selection?
We're going to Kempton tomorrow evening. Trappy Old Cards, I've gone for a bigger price one. I didn't realise actually that he was that short when we were going for that one. So I'll go for a bigger price one tomorrow evening at Kempton. The 7:30 race. Not a bad little contest, this. And quite a few come in form. But I'm going to go for a horse called Blazon of Kim Bailey's. Horse number 10. Kim Bailey's actually, he's on a good run of things at the moment. He's had in the last fortnight, he's had 3 winners from 10 runners. So he's had a bit of a quiet spell during the summer. But things going better for him, during the winter rather. But things going better for him at the moment. What we do know about Blazon, he likes it here at Kempton. He's got a decent enough record here. When he won, he was completing a hat-trick here this time last year at Kempton. He was really impressive. He beat a horse called Tin Fandango. It wasn't the horse he beat, but the manner he won the race. He came from a long way back on that occasion in a race where the runner-up had got an easy time in front. And Blazon won with a little bit in hand in the end. After that, he then went to Southall. Didn't seem to enjoy that, not for the first time. And then he had a couple of more goes at Kempton. And he was set virtually impossible tasks the way the races were run. They were steadily run races, and he was right out the back. We know the way he'd be ridden. Hopefully, Luke Morris will have him a little bit closer tomorrow. I don't want to see the horse right out the back, because if there's no pace, you can suddenly find yourself in an impossible position. But he was off the track there for 7 months. He had a run at Wolverhampton last month. Not much was expected that day looking at the market. And, they weren't disappointed, really. They didn't get much. But at least what has happened is that he's going to have got a run under his belt. He's back on, for those Weights and Measures boys, he's back on the same Marquez, his last victory here over course and distance last February. It's not as if he's had a whole lot of racing in the interim. So hopefully, providing he's not out of his ground, and Luke Morris hopefully will be able to get him a little bit closer and he won't be too far back, I think Blazon should give us a bit of a run for our money in the 7.30.
Fingers crossed for you. Blazon currently 8-1 for that 7.30 tomorrow, live here on William Hill Racing Radio. Join us for that. Join us tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. And John, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.